Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. It's great having you here because this is an opportunity for another wonderful in-depth conversation. And if you've been listening to the show, you know that this is all about empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions regarding your health and well-being. And as I always like to say, you know, we live in confusing times, and we really need to learn how to navigate for the optimal expression of our health and well-being. So we have another wonderful conversation in store for you. Before I introduce my guest, let me just say, if you're listening for the first time or if you'd like to get the archives and you haven't been getting the archives, then you have a couple of options of how to get the archives of both of my podcasts, not only What Women Must Know, but also The Love Code, which is every Saturday at 11 a.m. on Progressive Radio Network. So all you need to do is like me at my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, or you can opt into my community at Dr. Cheryl Selman and join me there, and I will send those archive shows to you every week, and you'll get other additional information, education, and community support. So you're invited to stay connected and keep learning, keep healing, keep growing. Well, today we're talking about a really interesting topic. We're talking about yin, completing the leadership journey. And if that doesn't ring a bell, you just wait there because we have some fantastic wisdom to share with you today. And my guest is Lisa Marshall. And Lisa is a nationally recognized expert, trainer, and speaker on leadership, maturity, and organizational development, and president of her executive coaching firm, The Smart Work Company. For over 20 years, her seminars and trainings have offered executives a creative way to become more self-aware and tap into their potential through the power of story. Lisa is a fierce elder and grandmother who aspires to be a good ancestor. She lives currently on the inside of First Mountain in Pennsylvania. Lisa understands the power of story and that stories live in our body. And she is deeply committed to the idea that our purpose in life always, whatever path we take, is to grow, to mature, to become an elder. And she is the author of Yin, Completing the Leadership Journey. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Lisa Marshall to the show. This is such a great topic, Lisa. I'm so excited to be able to have this conversation with you.
Well, thank you, Cheryl, and I'm excited to be here.
Well, you have such an interesting journey. So I always like to ask my guest, just out of my curiosity, what was the path in your life that led you in this direction?
Oh, that's a great question. I spent 12 years as a documentary filmmaker, and what I learned there was that in spite of the cameras and the microphones and everything else, people would talk to me, and I loved hearing their stories. And when I transitioned into business, I transitioned into teaching technical people interpersonal skills because I'd seen in public television and elsewhere what a lacking that was for most people who were really good with technology. I wrote a book on leadership after many decades of coaching people in high tech called Speak the Truth and Point to Hope, The Leaders to Journey to Maturity. And one of my teachers, a Native American named Jaime Storm, read that book a few years later and said, "This is a good book, Lisa, but you really need to write a book about leadership for women." That is, by the way, parenthetically, because most Native American traditions really focused heavily on balancing male and female energies. And he was very aware that we don't have that balance today. So that was in 2013, and it took me quite a while to figure out what else to say that I hadn't already said in the first book. It was the convergence of movements in the United States, Black Lives Matter, the Me Too movement, which sort of went global, and the pandemic opening up a lot of free time, and the fact that I was healing from a knee replacement, it took all of that for things to come together. And in a sort of blinding flash of the obvious, I realized a question that women had often asked me about my first book, which was used Joseph Campbell's The Hero's Journey as the architecture for the book. And people would say to me, well, isn't that just for men? Does that really work for women? And my answer always was, if you're not the hero in your own story, who is? Because you have a problem there. And I think that's true. And now I realize it wasn't enough. The answer is yes, they're different, and they're the same. We all have to take journeys. We all have to encounter monsters. Usually they're ones that we've also created for ourselves, but there are some real ones out there in the world. We all need allies. We all have what Campbell called the return when we bring our gifts back to the community. The difference is that the young or the male hero's journey is all about achievement. It's about external accomplishment. You chop off the dragon's head, you get the golden fleece, you kill a Medusa. Whatever it is, it's all about something you can say you did. For women, the journey is internal. And not just women, I need to say that. I've coached many, many men who struggle in the same ways that women do, complicated by the fact that they feel like they dare not show that it would be completely a career detonating move. But the yin journey, the feminine energy journey, is a journey to our own interiors. It is a journey in which when we succeed, we come back with our voices and we know how to use those voices in the world. And that's a very different kind of power and energy than most women experience today. And it's really been hugely helpful for me to understand this and see how this operates. And I think somewhere in there I answered your question, Cheryl.
You did a great job. You know, in my journey in life, I so relate to what you're saying, Lisa, by the way. It's such a wonderful conversation because what I learned at one point on my life's journey to eldership, that the male energy, which, you know, to be honest, we live in a patriarchal culture still, and so we have inherited the values of a patriarchal culture, which basically values this achievement, right? Push, go all the time and achieve something, which is a huge detriment to women's innate physiology and just energy. So I learned that. What I learned was that you just go all the time, because for men, they just, their nature and their energy system is like constantly going. And for women, we actually are cyclic in nature. That's part of the women's wisdom story, the feminine wisdom story. We are cyclic in nature. We have a very different way of operating in the world. And if we override that to fit into the world of the, you know, the patriarchal model, the male model, we do great harm to ourselves. And I learned that personally because yes. I was at a stage in my life where I was having a business, I was counseling, I was working, 40, 50 hours a week on the weekends, constantly going. And that's when my health really took a big hit. And I have to say, so did my emotional state, so did my relationship. I mean, you know, everything suffered. And I didn't understand it until I had my own epiphany about this.
That sounds like a very familiar story. I know so many women who, in their struggle to be one of the guys and keep up with the guys, have lost their bearings as well as their health, and lost their way in a really profound sense, in that they don't love what they're doing anymore. Their relationships have all shriveled up. They're just not who they want to be, and it takes often a big breakdown, a crisis of some kind, for people to say, I can't do this and I don't want to do this, and now I have to figure out how to do things differently. One of the things I'm hoping that writing this book will help with is that it will help younger women see that they don't have to go as far down that path as their predecessors did in order to say, no, this doesn't work for me and I'll do it differently. Thank you kindly.
Well, that would be a wonderful thing, because the sooner a woman understands the true nature of her power, the sooner she can really establish it into her life and into the world. And I just want to add that when I went through this, you know, profound revelation, and by the way, it was watching that series on public television with Joseph Campbell that was an aha moment for me. It was an aha moment for me. I don't know what it was, but I was riveted to that program and it spoke to me. And around that time, this whole transformation was going on within me. And as I realized that I needed to get more in touch with my yin, and we'll go and define that in a moment. I'll have you do that. The more I tapped into the feminine wisdom, my cyclic wisdom, understanding who I was as a woman, the more I actually found my true power. And I've been trying to find my power modeling a masculine way of operating in the world, and it didn't work. It was
exactly
detrimental to me, actually, right? So, So why don't we define yin, Lisa, for people who may not be familiar with that term? Let's explain what it means.
Yin and yang come from the ancient Chinese Taoist thinking. It is some of the most sophisticated thinking about human nature that I know of, and it's literally thousands of years old. It's been mistranslated to the West to some degree, because yin is considered the feminine principle, yang is considered the masculine principle. Yin is associated with the dark. When I say I live on the yin side of the mountain, I live on the north-facing side of the mountain. It is associated with passivity, which is not a correct understanding. It's much more receptivity. You can't call water passive because it flows around the rock. It gets where it's going in an incredibly efficient and quiet way by doing that. Whereas if it's crashing into the rock all the time, then it's getting re-aerated and turning back into air again and not going where it needs to go. So the ability to move with what is, to me, is a really lovely description of what yin really is. Here's a line from Merlin Stone's book, Ancient Mirrors of Womanhood. The female yin is the female principle of following the strategy that to some might seem passive, yet in the long run is most likely to assure a reaching of the destination. I would argue it's neither male nor female. It is a kind of energy. that is desperately missing in the world today. It's also the dark, moist, fertile interior world, whether in ourselves or on the planet, from which all growth comes. You know, the biologists now say that something like 80% of living biomass is below the Earth's surface. So the planet itself, one could argue, is profoundly yin. And when I started thinking about this, I started thinking about some of the processes that are yin. Healing, for one, and you know this very well, Cheryl, is a yin process. It's interior, it's mysterious, it's a very powerful force. It requires darkness, sleep, rest, and giving over to forces bigger than ourselves. Our bodies don't heal in our waking hours, which I find fascinating. So you have to go into a kind of darkness, a timelessness, and face deep pain in order to be reborn as something new, whether it's an old lady with a new knee, a soldier who's been wounded and is healing again, someone fighting cancer. The all of that is a yin process. Yin is tied to the body. Yang is tied to the mind. And healing is recursive. Yin is recursive. You seem to go back over the same territory. I think of it as spiraling because you're always looking at it from a new angle, but you move around to the same places again and again. Yin also is not something that wants all the power. It wants its fair share of the power. And that's a really important distinction for people to understand, because sometimes people get very frightened that I'm saying, oh, so everybody should just be yin now and we should get rid of all the yang. And that is not it at all. We need those striving energies, but we need them in service of something important, not striving for their own sake. Sleep is yin. Sleep is, and if you've had children, you probably had the experience of when they were little, once in a while they would take a really long, deep nap and wake up and you'd look at them and think, oh, wow, that's not the same kid. Their face has changed. They've grown. Something happened. That sleep was a growth spurt, and you have the next step in your child's development. Learning is yin, and this is a really interesting one. We think of learning as collecting information in our yang world, but true learning doesn't exist until it's in the body, and that's why I say learning is yin. Otherwise, you don't have access to it when it really matters. And to learn, you have to be willing to not know some things. In our yang world, and especially in the business world, if you don't have all the answers, you're looked down on. But if you have all the answers, how do you learn? Your growth gets stunted. Forgiveness is yin. Grieving is yin. Anger is yin. Love is yin. All of our deepest feelings have a huge yin component, and it's part of why we're frightened by yin. Yin is all that messy emotional stuff that we'd rather not deal with. Thank you kindly. Take it away from me. And until we've dealt with it, we can't grow, we can't mature, we can't reach a full, glorious elderhood. And I think I'll stop there.
Wow, that's such a great definition. That was wonderful, because we, in our, I would say in our, you know, traditional world here, we don't really language things in terms of yang and yin. And even if we did, we may not know the deeper meaning, which you shared with us. But it's this understanding of as yin and yang evolved, this balance of the energies that we are and how to live in balance. And when to call upon each of the energy when appropriate. So, it's just to have this conversation and to bring these words and these concepts into communication is a learning journey. It's opening up a new part of our brain to experience the world in a new way, in a more balanced way.
Yes, yes. And we absolutely need yang. Yang has to build containers in which it's safe to be yin. There have to be people and healers on all levels, medical healers, emotional healers know this really well. You have to be able to hold a safe space and keep other forces out so that someone can take the risk of deeply experiencing their yin and grow into that. So it's not about not having one or the other. It is, as you just said, about keeping them in balance.
And I think this is where the gifts of indigenous cultures come in. I've been able to experience different indigenous cultures, from Native Americans to Australian Aboriginal to being in Peru with the Shipibo people for a while. Those cultures are so precious, Lisa, to me, because
yes,
they have this deep connection to nature, and they understand innately the yin and yang, when it's time to move within, when it's time to go without, honoring nature, the processes of nature, how we are connected to nature, how we need to work with these energies to thrive and survive. They are great teachers for us.
They are wonderful teachers for us. And one of the really striking things to me is that as we get in touch with our yin and our voices, you will see that people who embody the feminine principle become voices for Mother Earth. It is no accident that if you look at a demonstration about an environmental issue, you will 9 times out of 10 see that the bulk of the people there are female, because those are the ones who've found their voice and are now speaking for Mother Nature. And it is the lack of anyone speaking for Mother Nature that is costing the planet so dearly at this point. So I do feel like the indigenous people, there's very solid research that says anywhere indigenous people are in charge of the earth, it is much healthier than the places around it where they are not in charge. They know this, they honor this, they understand this.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about yin and leadership, because that is really the focus of this new book. And perhaps you can help us understand what you mean by that and how that is to be brought into being.
Yin in leadership is about finding the voice that honors the things that we mostly haven't wanted to talk about culturally in the business world for the last several hundred years, which have to do with feelings and people's respect and dignity and the things that are so often missing in the business world today, because we have simply focused on moreness. Just get more, do more, be more. And oh, by the way, you're going to get exhausted in the process. And the sad thing to me is that the exhaustion is not just on the part of the women in the business world. I see it all the time in the men, too. I've had a number of high-tech clients retire in the last couple of years, and the phrase that they've all independently used with me is, I'm learning how to be a human being again. Mm-hmm. I find that very poignant and very telling. That they would need to learn how to be a human being after 30 years in business is very sad.
You know, I have relatives who have been in high-powered positions and workaholics, and when it comes to retirement time, they're at such a loss, Lisa. They don't know what to do with themselves. They don't know how to really find who they are. They're not back in their job and their position and working all the time.
Right. Right. They don't know how to be. They only know how to do. And that's not enough.
Yeah. Not enough. So can you give us an example, because I know you love stories. You must have a couple of good stories of how this transition has affected people in business.
It's affected people in business in a lot of different ways. That's been one of the fascinating things to watch. But one of my favorite stories is a client of mine who has been slowly and steadily recognizing that promotions and getting, how do I want to put this, getting ahead in the world, all of that stuff doesn't actually make him happy. What makes him happy is when he sees the people that work for him thriving. And it was a very challenging transition for him to say, I don't want another promotion. I want to stay where I am, and I want to see all my people do really, really well. And it's so counterintuitive, especially in high tech, that it took him probably close to 10 years to be able to say, it's not who I am. It's not who I want to be. I just want to create an atmosphere in which people thrive. I want to create an organization in which people support one another, talk to one another, can be real with one another, take risks, and are recognized and rewarded for them. And his team this year received his company's highest quality award for the work they've done, in part because they created ways to measure employee satisfaction that had never been seen before in that company. And that really clearly made a difference. When those numbers went up, productivity went up, customer satisfaction went up, all the things that, the execs cared about all increased dramatically. And he did it in such a different way than they were used to seeing it done. So that's one story that I really love, because when he found his voice, everybody else benefited.
That's a great story. I mean, it's an example of nurturing others and creating a supportive, loving environment so people can grow, and develop more of their abilities and skills and be supported. It's a very different kind of culture in a corporate world than what we've seen. but it's one where you're healthier, you're happier, you like going to
exactly.
I recently interviewed this wonderful woman out of Lebanon, and she's Lebanese, and I think she lived in Canada for a while and then went back and became an executive in the banking industry, which is all male in Lebanon.
Oh, wow.
And you would love to talk with her. She has a great story, and she brought all of these yin qualities into this very male-dominated culture in Lebanon, and did exactly as you just described, supported people, nourished people, allowed them to create a sense of safety and family. They wouldn't even take any vacation time. They just wanted to be at work all the time, and they won awards for their outstanding performance and success. It's
that's a great story.
So beautiful. It's a beautiful story. It's everything that that your work embodies, is bringing us into a greater balance in life. And in doing so, it's actually a spiritual journey that people go on, I would say.
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
Yes, it's very much a spiritual journey. And again, that's gotten very complicated, because acknowledging that people have spirits is kind of counter to corporate culture in most places. But it's really an important part of a healthy human being. I like to say that there are four qualities that if someone's mature in yin as well as yang, that you'll see in their leadership. The first one is this caring and concern, and that is the central organizing principle of the decision-making processes in their organization. The second one is collaboration. We now know that the Victorian belief that nature was all competition and there was no collaboration was much more a function of them than it was of nature, and that there's an infinity amount of cooperation in nature, and having collaborative, cooperative decision-making processes is part of what makes a healthy organization. The third one is staying very close to, I call it grounded truthfulness. They know what's happening in their organization. They know what the troops are feeling. They know how it is being experienced when leadership makes a pronouncement that has nothing to do with reality. So they're not afraid to call BS on that. They're not afraid to speak up on behalf of their people when they see something that just isn't truthful being propagated as the truth. And then the last quality is one I call generativity, the ability to be generous, imaginative, creative enough to help give people hope. So in a way, the title of my first book, Speak the Truth and Point to Hope, is still the driving principle, I think, of mature leadership that has a balanced yin and yang. And I've seen that over and over and over again in the organizations I've worked with. And it's amazing when it's happening, and, oh, it's so painful when it isn't.
Well, yeah. What are your thoughts about when we are working in an organization or in any business, that we bring the family wounds with us? So businesses or your team, or wherever you find yourself in the world, you're actually recreating the wound of your childhood. And so you create all the characters. You create the cast of characters at work who represent the, disapproving dad or mom or, whatever. How do you see that playing out in a yin environment?
It plays out in all environments, you know, whether your organization is academic, political, religious, commercial, it doesn't matter. We all bring our stuff with us. We all bring our unresolved stuff with us in hopes that maybe this time we can get it right. And if we're not willing to do the work of yin, which is the work of becoming self-aware, then we just play that out over and over again. I like to say that certainly in the United States, we're addicted to what I call the Peter Pan model of leadership, in which you're young, male, charismatic, have great adventures, never lose, take really good care of the lost boys or the good old boys. And the interesting thing, if you go back and read James Barry's Peter Pan, is that Peter also had no short-term memory. So he could play the same game that he played yesterday today with equal enthusiasm because he didn't remember he had played it yesterday. And that's why you see businesses blow up and restart, blow up and restart, and the patterns are the same over and over and over again because people bring their unresolved stuff to work. And if they're not willing to do the work of recognizing those demons, those monsters, those ghosts from their past, and learning a new and different approach to them, they're sort of stuck in a Groundhog Day scenario where they just play the same games over and over and over again. So I absolutely think that that's going on. And one of the things that I've been very grateful for in my work is that I've been given permission by a lot of people to challenge those stories and say to them, is that, do you want to keep playing this story out, or would you like to have a different story, a different ending this time? And people beginning to do that work. It's very, very rewarding when you can get somebody to recognize their patterns and start to address how they might do it differently.
To be able to get someone to that place in an environment where the same patterns are showing up, which is painful for them, painful for everyone, to arrive at that place where they actually are willing to heal is sometimes, challenging for the team, right? Not all egos want to surrender to change.
Right. And you get people for whom their boss's behavior was serving a purpose to them, and when their boss starts to change, it's very unsettling, and they will do a lot of maneuvering to try and prevent that change from occurring. One of the things that I love to do is to get to work with the whole team, because then I can sort of make comment on, I notice a number of you are resisting this. What's up with that? And find out what their stories are and how what they need to unhook from in order to create the space for the leader to grow and change and for themselves to grow and change.
Sounds like a sneaky way to do group therapy, Lisa.
Oh, shoot. You figured it out, Cheryl.
Okay, so let's talk about what you mentioned and use in your work, and that's called yin elderhood. I love that term, but I'm not sure what it means. So what does that mean?
Yin elderhood is a deeply feminine form of elderhood, and there can also be deeply masculine forms of elderhood. It is probably, in my eyes, the embodiment of tough love in that it's a fearless take on what the monsters are. A fearless, grounded truthfulness that's embodied in a body that doesn't have to be hard. So it's this fascinating mix of living in a body that can be loving and warm to everybody without ever not speaking your truth. And that's a lifetime of work, I will tell you. Most of us get there once in a while. Some of us get there some of the time. A few of us get there most of the time. But it's an ability to offer unconditional love with an edge and to encourage people to honor their own truths. It is an absolute capacity to respect the dignity of every individual and also not to let them get away with a lot of BS. So that's my story about what a yin elder is. It's both, you know, I think if you think of the best grandmother you knew, that's probably as close as most people get to it. And, you know, she had her rules and she had her ways and she loved you deeply and she expected you to be your best self, which is not the same as win all the prizes or go to the fancy schools or whatever. She just expected you to be your best, kindest, most generous self and held you accountable to that. That's what a yin elder looks like to me.
Yeah, it's a great definition. If you've had one of those grandmothers.
Right. And it's what I strive to be as a grandmother, and I know most of us didn't quite get that. A few of us did. And I'm just hoping there's more for the next generation.
So the next question I have for you, Lisa, is what are some of the suggestions, strategies, techniques, you know, whatever you want to define it as, to help people move into this more healing, receptive, balanced way of being in their workplace? Well, we're talking about workplace or being that way in life. What would you say are some tools or resources that people can start applying or maybe want to learn some of what you're teaching to bring into their business world? Where do you begin?
That's a great question. I will say that for me, it began many, 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 many years ago with a field called neurolinguistic programming, which really looked at and studied, you know, some people are so effective and other people try and imitate them and they never reach that same degree of impact. What's the difference? And it had to do with really minute shifts in language and body. So becoming aware of your language and becoming aware of when you're congruent with your own messages, which is to say you're not doing what Richard Nixon famously did when he said, "I am not a crook," while nodding his head yes. People do that sort of stuff all the time and they're not aware that they're incongruent. And then they're wondering why people don't trust them, don't believe them, don't honor them. et cetera. So starting with that level of awareness, I then studied a lot about the body and somatic practices and learned more how to coach someone how to show up as a leader in a physical, in a nonverbal sense, as well as, again, the language that gave you authority and credibility. There are a lot of different paths, but I would say it is a mix of constantly deepening your self-awareness and paying attention to what is, what's the best way to describe this? What is so intrinsically in your body that you're unaware of it, and yet it's communicating to everybody else all the time. Learning those things, you know, videotape can be a very painful, very powerful learning tool in that regard. You know, having a recording of how you show up in a meeting, things like that. But primarily, you got to start with a real commitment to wanting to be your best self. I was going to say a more effective, more committed leader, but, you know, that's all very young. I think it's just a commitment to being your very best self. There are lots and lots of good teachers out there. And my experience is when you open yourself up, the right teacher shows up. You work with them for a while, you move on to something else, and you just stay on that learning path. You know, I continue to work with people, even though I'm well past quote-unquote retirement age, and love doing that. There are lots and lots of good coaches. There are lots and lots of good therapists, and there are lots and lots of good courses you can take. The question is, are you committed? If you're committed, you'll find your right path.
As you're talking, two statements come to mind that I love and have used in my practice. First of all, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten. That's a great, you know,
amen.
That's a great statement.
That,
right?
That actually is on a poster on my desk here, yes.
So, you know, kind of another blinding flash of the obvious. And the other one is that for things to change, you must change. Or I must change. You know, and,
yes,
and the world out there will change to the degree that you're willing to change. If you're trying to change the world and not change yourself or change your, you know, your intimate world, your business environment, and you're not willing to change first, it'll never happen. So it all starts with you on many levels. I mean, that could be explained on many levels, from the most physical to the most esoteric, that you are,
yes,
the key to creating the change around you.
Yes. Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, then there's your book, Yin, Completing the Leadership Journey, which would be, I would encourage people to read, because that would provide a lot of inspiration and guidance on how to begin this journey or how to complete the leadership journey into the yin. So do you want to say anything about that wonderful movie?
Yeah, yes, I actually had shared a draft with some of my colleagues early on, and one of them said, but there's no stories in here, Lisa, and you love stories and people learn from stories. Why aren't there any stories? You should put stories in. And I had a really visceral reaction of no. And it took me a while to figure out that my job in writing this book was to get people to become aware of their own story. So I've created it in sort of a workbook format. There's a few pages of writing, food for thought, and then a bunch of questions. Not a bunch, four. There's four questions after every chapter and space for the reader to reflect on those. Some people like to read the whole book and then go back and reflect on the questions. Some people work their way through it very methodically. There's no right or wrong to that. But it is designed to be a way to start the growth process and give yourself some language for it. Because a lot of times I think what inhibits people is the lack of feeling that they know how to talk about it. So there's language here, there's stories here, I talk about archetypes, and I think archetypes are very, very powerful. I've used them in my work in high tech for decades, and I've literally never had an engineer say to me, "Lady, what are you talking about, archetypes?" We're really hardwired for them. Even the most devout geek is hardwired for archetypes. So understanding the archetypal roles you have played in your life in various settings, the archetypes that you are drawn to, the archetypes that you're frightened of, all of that can be very helpful. And then at the end of the book, I invite people to recognize that it's very hard to move forward if you don't know where forward is. Which is to say, if you don't have a picture of how you want things to be, then it's very easy to settle for how things are and then wonder why you feel so stuck and so trapped. So I invite people to write what I call the future perfect, a world, a description of, if I lived in a world in which yin and yang were in balance, what would that look like? What would it sound like? What would it feel like? How would it work? So there's lots, the book is designed to help people begin this journey. It's not going to do it single-handedly, because nothing does it single-handedly. It takes both your hands a lot of time. But it is a good starting point for it. And I should probably say that if you want a copy of it, you can get either an ebook version or a hard copy version from my website, which is yinjourney.com. I did not put the book on Amazon, and I didn't put it on Amazon because Amazon is the essence of yang, and it felt like I was out of integrity if I did that. So you can order it from your local independent booksellers through New Leaf, which is independent book distributor, or you can get the ebook from Smashwords, which is an independent ebook distributor, or you can just go to the website, again, yinjourney.com, and order it there. All of those are possibilities, and there's more information on the website if you want to noodle around on it a little bit. So that is certainly one way to do it. But I will tell you, I think, Cheryl, that there are many, many gifted healers, teachers, counselors, coaches out there these days who can help somebody who is struggling to find their voice do so. I'm not the only one.
Oh, you know, that's the beauty of the time we live in, right? We have so many resources available to us, whether you go in person or do it online now, infinite possibilities.
Yeah.
And see what shows up in your world that you're attracted to. You know, I always say, just let the Tao unfold and see what comes up and then be willing to say yes to it. But I do want to ask you a question. With your book, can that book be used in a group setting? Can a department be assigned that book, and can that book be able to guide an environment for conversation and growth and healing?
Absolutely. It would be a great conversation starter for staff meetings, a chapter at a time over the course of several months, and then a group effort to define if this organization were balanced in yin and yang, what would it look, sound, and feel like? That would be a brilliant use of the yin book for helping get a conversation going. And again, giving people language to talk about something that has been, you know, suppressed, oppressed, repressed in much of modern culture. And until people have that language, it's very hard for them to move forward. So that's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, I would think it's for teams, it's for clubs, it's for families. You know, it can be a great way to have this kind of conversation. And like you said, have the words, language. If you don't have the words and language things, it's hard to talk about them and to get those concepts across and embedded
yes.
in people. So, yeah, very exciting.
And if people want to do book groups, I'm happy to call in, or I'm not going to, in all probability, travel very far to join a book group, but we don't need to anymore. I'm happy to join your Zoom or your Microsoft Teams or your whatever and, you know, add to that conversation if people would find that useful.
Wow, that's a wonderful offer. That's exciting. Thank you. That's very, very inspiring and generous of you, Lisa. Yeah, hope people take advantage of that gift that you're offering, because this, you know, this is such an important topic, and what you're doing and how you're bringing light into the business world is really the spiritual journey for all of us. If we want to live a life that's filled with more peace and happiness and health, we need to understand how to get back into balance and the journey of how to do that and the skills required and the awareness. It's the key. It's the key to changing
yes.
ourselves and changing our world. So, you know, what you're doing is very powerful and very profound. And thank you so much for spending this time with us today, Lisa. It's been a wonderful conversation.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. This has been, I love talking about this stuff. So I've had a grand time, and I really appreciate you making this opportunity.
Well, that's where we both have the same thing in common. as well. So thank you so much. So go to Yin Journey, everyone, if you want to learn more about Lisa Marshall's work, about opportunities to bring this wisdom into your world, or possibly bring Lisa into your world as well. And, yeah, we've got to go. We've come to the end of the show. So, again, thank you, Lisa Marshall, for being with us. Her book is Yin, Completing the Leadership Journey. Go to yinjourney.com for more information. And until next week, may you always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.